Welcome to Optimal Health for Busy Entrepreneurs, the podcast for busy and high-performing entrepreneurs and leaders who are looking to create more energy and optimize their health while upgrading their brain and personal performance with precision. I am your host, Julian Hayes II. I've been involved with health and performance for over a decade. This podcast was created for the high performer who is unapologetically ambitious, the one who moves at a fast pace and operates with an edge, the one who wants to become superhuman. Nothing here is fluff, gimmicky, or feel good. I have little to no interest in simply helping you improve your life. I want to help transform it. By listening to this podcast, expect to have a body that feels just as good as it looks. Expect to possess a swagger and style that gives off an infectious vibe. Expect to command the stage or any boardroom you walk into with your executive presence. And lastly, expect to become your most enhanced self so you can live a limitless life. Now, let's get to the show. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Optimal Health for Busy Entrepreneurs. I am your host, Julian Hayes II, back at it again with another fascinating human and entrepreneur and many more things. I'm here with Scott Ferguson. He is a Navy vet. Thank you again for your service.
I appreciate it, Julian.
He's a real estate junkie investor, and he's an active podcaster and the host of Time to Shine Today podcast, which is a must-listen podcast. So make sure you subscribe to that podcast. But without further ado, Scott, how is it going today?
It's beautiful. Blessed and highly favored, my friend. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm privy and I'm going to use the word blessed again to be able to be coming on to the the JH the Second show.
That's right. And, you know, I'm glad to have you here. And I love what you're about. I love what your podcast is about. So, but before we dive into the present and go to the future, let's go all the way back to the past.
Yeah, man.
And how did you become you that you are today?
Well, my mother was Filipino, and she kind of met a man that was an American GI. And during the Vietnam War era, I was born in 72. So yeah, I'm coming up. I'm 50 years old pretty soon here. And she got pregnant with me. And my father, from what I'm told, my biological father got killed in Nam. And at the time, mixed breed babies were actually males. Mixed breed males were taken from the mother and then shipped to Spain. Because Spain, the Spaniards own the Philippine Islands. It's a Spaniard island. And no one was, even to this day, knows what happened to the male babies that went to Spain. So whether they thrived or what happened to them. But she sent me out of adoption with a family that was in the Air Force there that was stationed in Quebec City. And they started the adoption process. Well, what happened was, the woman who's going to be my adoptive mother, her father got sick. So they got me a temporary visa back to the States, and her father died. She went schizophrenic, couldn't raise me. So they kind of dumped me off in an orphanage. So I kind of hung out there, got adopted at about 2 years old by a family in Detroit, Michigan, where I call home. And they raised me to the extent that they could raise me with my adoptive father. I love him. We're best friends, but he was an alcoholic Vietnam guy. And they didn't take care of the Vietnam people like they do us, you know, that have came back. So they ended up, splitting by the time a year and a half with them, they split. So I ended up bouncing from family members to family members, going from here to there, never really found any traction in a home. And so what happened is, you know, I decided I was pretty good at a couple different sports, and I figured, you know, I'm just going to get a ride to a college, but they didn't really like a 1.6 grade point average. So they were just like, well, why don't you go try JC and, you know, play and get your grades up and come join. And my dad's like, dude, if you're living under my roof, you're paying. And I was like, dude, I just went in the Navy. You know, I went in, talked to the recruiter. He's like, man, you're great. You'll be great. Of course, they're going to tell you that. went in the Navy and really found my family, man. I did a bunch of deployments to Iraq, Afghanistan. I was there during Somalia. If you've seen the movie Black Hawk Down, our operation was one that went in and got the guys. I ended up being a family there in the Navy, got out of the Navy and lost kind of touch with what family was again, but ended up being a personal trainer for a good amount of time and trained. I was in a very affluent area in West Bloomfield, Michigan, Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. And I got some people that really kind of trained me in life that I was training. They would train me mentally in life, and then they would take me under their wings saying, let's go invest in real estate. Let's do this. So I was waking up in the morning, Julian. I was doing personal training in the morning, going and selling real estate in the afternoon and bouncing at a bar at night. And, you know, eventually all of it fell off except for the real estate. And that was 1998. And I'm a licensed agent since then, printed money for a long time, 2003, 4, 5, 6, and the market crashed. Boom. That happens. You know, lost everything, bro, and I had everything. And all these mentors were telling me, hang on to your money. Stuff's going to happen. It's not going to be good. I didn't listen. Lost everything. And then my little brother decides to put a gun in his mouth and take his life. So it was like, I was really lost, came back, didn't have any like way to really adapt to life because I went through loss in the military. I went through loss in my life, but my little brother really crushed me with that. And I ended up like going back and staying afloat in real estate. We call it treading water. I was treading water. And basically I was handed a book called The Traveler's Gift by Andy Andrews and a Christian guy, Christian comedian, funny as all heck. But he wrote a book and it really resonated with me. I recommend The Traveler's Gift. So if one of your questions was, what's your favorite book? It's The Traveler's Gift. It really changed my life. This dude lost everything, his job, his daughter's sick. And, you know, he decides to take his life, but he hits a tree and he wakes up in 1945 before Give Him Hell Harry was about to drop the bomb, you know, and Hiroshima, Nagasaki. But he went to visit six different people like King Solomon, Anne Frank, you know, the angel Gabriel, Abraham Lincoln, stuff like that, that really helped him level up. And I took that and just started moving forward. And because back in the day, I was a vulture, man. I would prey on your misfortunes. You know, you were losing your house. Great. I'll buy it cheap, you know? But then I just really clicked over into a go-giver spirit. And now it's all about serving people. And that's how we came about with Time to Shine today, is to serve people and bring people into the family that can help others level up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hear, you know, and almost like you had to get to your lowest moment.
Sure.
Before.
It was low, bro.
Yeah.
It was low. Yeah.
So I guess when I'm looking back and speaking of Nam, I had two uncles and one took his life as well. And the other one was just drunk a lot.
Yeah,
every time I seen him, he just had to drink to kind of, and then he would start talking. And I didn't really put two and two together as a little kid.
Right.
He was just talking about people and events and stuff. I was like, what is he talking about? And I think he's just describing what he saw, but everyone just thought he was crazy. Mm-hmm. So I guess now, how did you adjust getting out of the military and probably seeing some things that a lot of us couldn't even imagine on our worst day?
Yeah. You know what? It goes back to the family of the fellas that we were with. I mean, once the Facebook book phenomenon happened, it was like, I could reconnect with all those dudes, but there's a lot of time that I was lost and I was out with a chip on my shoulder trying to prove myself at all times, where when you're in the service, your only job is to make sure the dude next to you stays alive. You know, where, you know, when you're out on your own again, you don't have anybody to lean on, you don't have anybody to protect. And it just really kind of messed with my mind because of my father's alcoholism. I didn't really turn to that. What I turned to mostly is food, bro. I mean, I went from a svelte 180 pound shredded dude to like 315. Oh, in like 4 years. And I mean, I had more chins than a Chinese phone book. And I'm not saying that it's a racist statement, but I'm just saying that, you know, it was, dude, I can show you pictures where, you know, I was just a fat dude. And, but a lot of my friends, my Iron Brothers, my gym rats, my fitness family, they really saw it and be like, Fergie, that's not you, man. And they drug me back in and made me get back on stage in my underwear and flex my muscles. So I started competing again and doing pretty well. But you know, there's a lot of discipline that goes into that. And that was another stepping stone. Thank you for asking that, because that just came to my mind. There's a lot of fitness family that really helped me bring back from those moments. So yeah, you experienced loss from the time I was a kid, you know, and then there's a kicker to that, man, is my mom had twins, dude, and she kept my little sister, you know, so it's like I got to reunite with them in 2006, which was pretty cool. My mom had passed in 1998, but I had hired a private investigator to go find, you know, my family. And it was a pretty cool reunion. We're not super close or anything like that, but we're tight enough.
Yeah. Tight enough. And you know, that story right there describes your mission when you talk about time to shine today, right? Is that no one needs to feel like they're alone.
Yeah. We don't want to have anyone feel like they have no one.
Yeah.
That's our thing, man.
Yeah. And I love that. And before we dive into the podcast even more, I'm curious, when you talked about being a go-giver and when you started to build back up your real estate business. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking there's parallels now with a lot of entrepreneurs and individuals out there who maybe need to reinvent themselves, maybe need to, or they're just at a low point with their business right now. Those early days of rebuilding your business, what do you mean by like go-giving? Because I mean, we hear all the time, serve, but mentally, I guess it's hard to do that if you're so worried about the bills and and generating income.
Oh yeah. Yeah, dude. It's like we give until it hurts so good, you know, and that's the part is like a lot of people say, yeah, you give, and that's it. But dude, you gotta be open to reciprocation and know that reciprocation is coming. You know, just have faith in what you're giving. And a lot of people don't do that. They just give, and they're not open to the reciprocation. They wonder why I'm not getting money, or why people aren't talking to me, or why I can't make connections. Dude, you have to have, I mean, it's the fifth rule of Bob Berg's book, The Go-Givers. You must be open to reciprocation. I mean, dude, you look at a plant and it's in your house and you breathe in oxygen, you breathe out carbon monoxide, the plant does the opposite. It breathes in carbon dioxide, breathes out oxygen, but you're open to getting that. You're open to getting that oxygen. Why don't be open to everything great in your life? We're all here to be great, to do great things, but you have to do it in the service of others. That, you know, you do what you love in the service of others that love what you do, bro. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's what I do. And that's, I'm not doing it to not get something, because I expect something to come back in return. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it could be, you know, I lent somebody money a few weeks ago, or maybe a month ago, maybe it was 2 months ago. I wasn't expecting anything because I know these people don't pay back, you know, but my goddaughter called me out of the blue, not asking for money, not asking for nothing. Just say, hey, Poppy, how's it going? That to me is a win. That's like the little things of happiness, bro. Mm-hmm. You've got to overlap that happiness. And that's the way you live.
I love that. What do you think is so difficult that people have a tough time with when it comes to receiving?
Deserving it, fear of it, feeling guilty of getting something. A lot of people have, and I do too, bro. One of my breathing exercises is the fear of success. And when I'm breathing in good, I breathe out that fear of success. You know, and I have an acronym, it's called PAFO, and it's, I breathe in, the P is for, you know, the pain. I want the pain to go away. This is my body. I've crushed my body. You know, A is anxiety. F is the fear of success, and O is overwhelming. So what I do is I picture breathing in good and breathing out the overwhelm, breathing out the fear of it. So a lot of people are afraid of success. That's why they'll never have it. Not to say that I'm uber successful, but I do pretty darn well once I started letting that in, period. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah. So you think the first step, I guess, for someone is to maybe do that, what you just described there? You think?
You know what? It works for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it could work with other people where they could surround themselves with the people that they want to soar with. You know, and sometimes that can switch it in their mind. They're saying, these people are good. These people help people. These people have nice things. These people are giving, and they still get, you know, you surround yourself with the right people. Me, I'm the same way. I'm becoming to be the person, which I'm blessed to, that where people are coming and hanging out with me and seeing that, like, dude, it's okay to accept and receive mm-hmm. greatness. Because we're all here. There's so much abundance, bro, that goes around. I don't want to go all the secret on you, but it's true. I mean, it's true. It is. I love Rhonda Byrne, great lady. Met her a handful of times, but like some people get all, you know, hooked into the coupley of it. You know, mm-hmm. me, I get what it is because I've experienced loss. I've experienced abandonment. And I've just used that as a superpower now to, you know, be able to help others level up. And it's awesome.
I'm the same way with that. After experiencing loss, that was really close to me. And it really opens your eyes and changes your perspective on just life in general. And, you know, speaking of connecting right now, normally the world's opening back up slowly, I think. I'm not sure, with every state has their own different rules and all that stuff. But normally we used to rely on just maybe traveling somewhere to connect with our tribe, to find our people. So right now, maybe a lot of people are stuck somewhere where they don't want to be, and it's not, or it's just not an environment that really nurtures them.
Sure.
So what are some ways that you think is good for them to start building that network of people that they want to be around with?
Honestly, get your butt on LinkedIn, mm-hmm. big time. Get your butt on meetup.com. Cause and virtually is where it's going to be for a little bit. I mean, Julian, you and I might not have ever met each other. I mean, if it wasn't for COVID, you know, if it wasn't for our situation, we might've just, because we're kindred souls in a sense, mm-hmm. we're ages apart, but we, you know, we still kind of walk that path together, you know, we might've, but I wouldn't have met a lot of the people without COVID happening. And it's been a blessing. Nothing can compare to what I've seen in Iraq in my losing my little brother. Nothing can. There's nothing that's going to faze me. And coming from my background of abandonment and just being left on a freaking doorstep, you know, when I was a baby, nothing can faze me. So it's like it could faze me, but I've trained myself through exercise, through reading, to not take life too seriously, you know, and to really have fun with it. I mean, there's a movie, one of the most underrated comedies, called Van Wilder. It's with Ryan Reynolds. It's one of his first movies. He was Deadpool guy now.
Yeah.
Right? And he said, don't take life too seriously. You'll never make it out alive. And that to me is how I live. Like, dude, if you and I ever hang out, I'm going to be the dork, the guy that you're like, Fergie, I can't believe you just said that. Cause I'm that. I don't disrespect people, but I don't take anything seriously. Mm-hmm. I'm not self-deprecating. I'll never put people down. I'm just like, dude, we're here to have fun. Let's celebrate this. So during this time, you've got to look at it like a celebration, man. It's like, dude, you have an opportunity to thrive in a time where people aren't, mm-hmm. you know, and it's sad that I think over as time we see, and I'm not getting political here, but I think as time we see, I think more people are going to die from the depression and whatnot than the actual disease itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, people, it's wrecking people mentally. Now, they're not taking their lives, bro, but they're giving up on life. And when you give up on life biologically, your body shuts down and you just die.
Yes.
You know, if you feel like you have nothing to live for, you're not out there like you just said you got back from a walk run. You know, I did 2 miles paddleboarding this morning, and it's like, that's what gets me going, is that there's stuff that you can do. And that's what we had Time to Shine today put out there by interviewing people like you, bro, which whenever you're listening to this, his show dropped January 28th of this year. And you got to pick it. You got to check it. Dude, it's freaking knowledge nuggets that Julian dropped. But you've got to surround your people with, you know, soar like eagles, not peck like chickens. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry for being long-winded, but I'm very passionate about people right now leveling up their game and understanding that winners adapt and make adjustments. In lack of a better term, losers make excuses. I want people to adapt and overcome. And we're here at Time to Shine today to help you do that, to put you with people like Julian and other coaches that we have in our Time to Shine today family to help you level up.
No, I love that answer right there, because, you know, you're right. And I always say mm-hmm. that you can lose all your money. You could gain an extra 40 pounds, but that's still not the worst thing. The worst thing is when you lose that hope and just that life force inside of you, and you just become apathetic. Because there's no emotion there at all.
Exactly. You nailed it. I mean, if you're going to fail, you know, mm-hmm. no matter what. I mean, but if you fail, fail forward. I mean, my favorite running back of all time is Barry Sanders with the Detroit Lions. Obviously, I'm a homer with Barry Sanders. Well, a lot of people would agree with me, but bro, mm-hmm. every time he ran, he failed forward. He might not have got a touchdown, but he fell forward. And that's how I live my life. And that's how we are with people at Time to Shine today. It's like, dude, you're going to fail. but at least you freaking took action. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And you know, you can seek help at all times. And within our community, there's a lot of people that come to our community to seek help and get put with the right people. And we call that, you know, from my good friend Leah Woodford, you know, get your asking gear. You know, ask, bro. There's people here to help you. Get out, ask, and level up.
You know, and that's one thing that I've learned. So I'm an only child, and as the listeners know, and I come from a world where, you know, if I try to do everything myself. And I realize that people are actually, the world's not really this big, scary place that it's painted out to be. Not everyone's just evil and angry. Probably 98% of people want the same thing you want and are nice and willing to help you.
Yes, absolutely. And if you're not asking, you're sinning. And I don't mean that in a biblical way. I mean, the Greek origin of the word sin is missing the mark. So if you're not asking and leveling up, you're literally sinning. You're missing the mark every day of your life that you don't. You know, my New Year's resolution this year was, one, get my sleep hygiene right. I need to recover. I'm coming up on 50 years old, bro, and I go every day. I'm either paddleboarding, hiking, mountain biking, getting after it. And sleep hygiene is number one. But number two is never meeting a stranger. And number three is making someone smile every day, period.
I love those.
Are my resolutions, bro. You know, and you've got to level up. And the more that I can help somebody get together with somebody, you know, that's just... it's my jam, bro. I mean, I love what I got going on. And you're talking, and I'm not talking fluff. There was a time when I was an imposter and I would talk shit or crap. You know what I'm saying? I would do that.
Language, whatever you want.
Okay. You can talk shit, right? I would talk shit. Yeah, I'm good. Fake it till you make it, which is okay if you're young. You're okay when you're young because your subconscious needs to be turned on to that thought.
Don't
lie, but think it, fake it till you make it. But as I got older, bro, it's like people respect me. I got these gray hairs things popping up, bro. And it's like I get a lot more people like eyes on me. So it helps me stay leveled up as I, you know, coming up on the mid-century, you know, mark. And there's nothing more exciting than the next 60 years I'm going to be alive. Yes, I'm saying 110, baby.
I like it. We can't even go more than that.
You know. That's right. We could by that time, Julian. Yeah. Shoot, man.
We can go more than that. So I love that. You know, let's you know, your podcast is just growing like crazy. Mm-hmm. And so I would love to hear. Did you envision this when you first started your podcast?
Bro, no, not at all, man. I have a radio show here in South Florida called South Florida Real Estate Business and Lifestyle. And I interview, and this is Palm Beach. So when you say Palm Beach, you're talking the elite of the elite. I mean, you think Miami has it? No, dude. Palm Beach is the Bill Gates, the Tom Brady's, the Robert Kraft. Everybody has places here. So there's a lot of wealth companies here. So I interview people to help people with wealth, right? And then, you know, get that out there and get them business, you know, through that. And the producer's like, dude, you have the face for radio. He's joking. I'm like, I kind of do, you know, because I have the voice and whatnot. But he's like, dude, you got a podcast, you know? And I'm like, you know, I thought about it. He goes, you should start one. So I started one, and it was my first 30 shows were me monologuing, regurgitating Tony Robbins, Jim Rohn, all the people that I feel mentored me through one way or another. And this is the thing. Tony Robbins was regurgitating Jim Rohn, Earl Nightingale, Wallace Waddles, all the way back to Marcus Aurelius, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, I'm giving, and it was a passion project. It was just like, yeah. Then I'm like, I built Time to Shine Today on an affiliate platform. And what I mean by that is, you know, I'm looking at the Atlantic Ocean right here to my right. On my left, I have a whole room of swag that companies send me to do product reviews on now, because I got my email list is up around 80,000. So I do a product review, and I would send it to my list, and my list would buy it and they'd pay me an affiliate commission. Right. So I'm an affiliate, like I'm going to be an affiliate for Julian Hayes after your podcast drops, you know, the reason why I'm saying is that, like, we run ads and marketing for Time to Shine Today coaching family every day. We're spending about $150, $200 a day online, getting people to come into the Time to Shine Today coaching family. Now, I only coach five people one-on-one, and I'm getting five figures per person, okay? And I'm not saying that to impress you, but I don't want to take on group coaching. I want to, with my podcast, interview people like Julian Hayes and other people. And then with the marketing, what happens is the people opt into our Time to Shine Today coaching, want help. They take a questionnaire that I had built out by my really good friend, Berta Medina, who is the coach's coach. She's fantastic. She's beautiful. You need to get her on the show. I'll make sure that happens.
Thank you.
She gave me a questionnaire that takes people about 15, 20 minutes to fill out. So I know they're serious. And then what happens is after your interview drops tomorrow, Julian, you're going to get a questionnaire saying, what kind of people do you want to coach? So when they fill out that questionnaire, I cross-reference it to the coaches that I've interviewed, and I give them three interviews that I did. Send those interviews over to the prospect. The prospect listens to the interview, says, I would like a warm introduction to Julian Hayes. Boom, Julian, meet Joe Schmuckatelli. He's looking to level up his health, wealth, mindset. He picked you. And so then you set me up with an affiliate for you. So basically, if you're like X and X a month, you pay me 10%, which you pay the Time to Shine Today family, which allows us to grow and help even more people. So I will be the biggest coaching connector that's out there within 5 years. There's no doubt about it. We will be the biggest coaching connect that's out there. There's nobody else that's really doing it on a podcast platform, and everything's going to podcasting, man. You know, so we're doing it. We're interviewing people, giving them free exposure, free everything. There's not a dime. We do ask for a $10 donation to suicide life prevention. That's the only thing we ask for. But other than that, man, we give till it hurts so good. And eventually it's all going to reciprocate. That's why when I interview people, I tell them, and I think I even said, this is almost like a job interview for you. I remember saying that to you. You're kind of like, huh? You know, you'll understand it as the time goes, because our platform, I mean, we did $180,000 in coaching commissions in 2019 or 2020 under beta. I mean, we were just running it. I picked select coaches and I started sending the podcast out to people that were prospects. And dude, it's in, you know, we got 10% of that as Time to Shine Today. So we made enough to handle our marketing, and I can pay a staff and interns and all that other stuff. So it's really, I know this is so long-winded, but I'm so excited about what we have going on at Time to Shine Today to be able to help as many people as we can, give free content until they're serious and they want to meet people like you to level up.
No, I love that answer, because, you know, this shows Optimal Health for Busy Entrepreneurs, and you basically took a concept that's not as popular within the podcast realm,
right?
And you brought it there.
Yep.
That's being an entrepreneur right there.
Right. Yeah. Thank you for saying that. But bro, it was just going to be just me talking on the thing. And then people were like, interview people, man, interview people, you know? And it's so cool, because I got just like stacks and stacks of books that I have to read from my interviewees, and I get free stuff all the time, dude. And all these books help you level up, you know? It's like in free journals and free workout manuals and free everything. It's like, dude, this is awesome. You know, yeah. I never don't have something that's leveling me up, man.
Yes.
Every day.
Indeed. And, you know, this circles back to what we talked about earlier when I asked you about building back up your real estate business, and you give. Mm-hmm. You give exposure. Yes. And then you received, you know, the income on the back end from just giving.
Income.
Yeah.
Dude, our interview, you know how much I got from that, man? I'm not even going to drop the knowledge nuggets you dropped now, but I looked through the notes this morning. I'm like, Julian brought it. Dude, I get free masterclasses with every interview. And I've did 211 so far. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I get free masterclass. I got inside Julian's head. And if you remember, my questions weren't just about your business.
Right.
They were like, hey, man, you know, what keeps you up at night, Julian? You know, stuff. So I know, and my people that are, I want to hire you, you know, the people that come into the Time to Shine Today coaching family, they get the Julian. They don't just get the robotic answers. You know, we pull stuff out of people. That's just a way just to give, bro. And it's freaking awesome. It's just awesome.
Yeah. I wish I started this podcast 2 years earlier, because I thought about podcasting. I thought about doing this, but I was just so nervous to do episodes where it's just a monologue. And then also more, I was scared to do that, but I was really scared to do interviews because I told myself I'm just a writer. I'm not an interviewer or anything like that. So, but it's been great because my head explodes sometimes after I get done. Like when we get done talking, I can't do any work. So I'm going for my run then because, you know, I'm learning so much and I'm getting so many ideas just from conversating with you.
You know, it's funny you say that because I immediately, like Thursdays, I interview 5 people on Thursdays. Okay. I tried to do it Tuesdays and Thursdays, but bro, I got to be up and going. So Thursday mornings is sauna, hot sauna, like 200 degrees, boom, right into cryo, you know, bring my body down to negative 200 degrees. And then, you know, hit the exercise bike for 30 minutes. And then my mind is ready to rock on Thursdays. I do five interviews. And then I go to a kava house that's on the beach. You know, kava is, it's fantastic, relaxing. Because it brings so much out of me energy, bro. You and I could go train and I would still feel more energetic after we trained, no matter how hard you want to go, than after doing 4 or 5 podcast interviews.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm bringing it, you know, and I want everybody to feel like you are the only person I'm interviewing today. And that's something about being mindful, being in the moment. That's why I have to do them only one day a week. If not, I'll burn out, bro. I'll burn out.
I might take that approach actually, but I'm not just doing 5 in a row because I'm still more monologues than interviews, but I'm switching over more. So I'm actually going to take that advice because it's kind of like an athlete getting ready for their game day. It reminds me of playing basketball. Yeah. You got to get yourself in from the time you wake up.
Dude, fucking reading my mind, dude. Dude, 5 interviews is 4 quarters of football in overtime, right? I'm going to overtime today, baby. That's exactly how I look at it. You know what I'm saying? I don't drink. I have a scotch every now and then. That's why I like to go and have some kava, hang out with some really cool dudes on the beach, you know, and just talk about the day. You know, Thursdays is my favorite day, man. It just is. I don't sell any real estate. My clients know it. My buyer's agent, my assistants know, dude, don't bother Fergie on Thursdays at all. It's his day.
So where do you see the podcast going? What's the future hold for this podcast?
The future is gigantuous. It is, you know, we just got picked up with XM Radio, which I think we talked about that. The new inspirational channel that's supposed to launch April 1, but it's probably going to be more like May 1st. But I'm getting 4 shows a month on there, which they've already started to plug. Say, hey, Scott Ferguson, with this Time to Shine show is going to be featured on the inspirational channel and stuff. So that it's going to grow big there. We're going to be the biggest through podcasting, the biggest Coaching Connect podcast that's out there. We are right now across 5 different platforms in the top 100 of coaching and personal development podcasts right now, coming up on 500,000 listens. And, you know, we're doing a lot for our interviewees. And what I mean by that is, you know, we're not just putting the show out there on social and blah, blah. I mean, I'm getting shows on their local radio stations. It's just big, man. Like I'm going to be able to touch and help so many people to level up their life that it's going to be so well worth it. And it'd be so fun, man.
What do you think are some, I'm sure there's a lot of tips and things we could do to, for people to grow their podcast. What do you think are some of the, maybe a handful that really helped you take your podcast to another level?
Consistency, 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 dude. That's all I can say is that, you know, grit is a monotonous activity, right? It's like you're an athlete. You understand that you got to get after it. And it's the same shit sometimes all the time, but you know, you got to do it. Podcasting is the same way, dude. If you want a successful podcast, I'm 5 days a week in this thing. You know, this is like a second job for me, but not a job because I know who I'm helping. You have to build an email list. By basically either running ads or telling everybody you know to come listen to your podcast, put them on the email list so they'll get an email that day that the podcast drops so they can see it. You got to have awesome content. And if a lot of people will get stuck in the content, especially if they're monologuing, they're like, oh man, what do I talk about? Dude, just do a 5-minute, read a chapter in a book and talk about what you learned in it. You know, be consistent though. Put out at least a show a week. Preferably 2. If I don't do 3 a week, I'm, you know, I should just end it, you know, but we're putting out 4 to 5 a week right now. And it's, you know, and I know that I'm doing it with the purpose of helping people, and that's all that matters.
So when you initially, did you, how'd you get connected with so many people? Or your, did you start with people you know, or did you just reach out to people you wanted to talk to?
To interview?
Yeah, to interview.
What I did at first is I went through LinkedIn and their filter system and put in coaches, bro, boom, done, you know, and I go through and I would shoot them, you know, hey, Julian, you know, our show is here, just like I sent to you. You know, I'd love to get you on the show. And you say, yeah, awesome. And then you have to have super strict on point protocol. And if you remember when you came into mine, you filled out a questionnaire, boom, questionnaire came back with your headshot. Right. And then you got a podcast flow with, you know, with a link to pick a date. And it's like, you have to have systems and protocol in place to make it as smooth as possible for your interviewee. But you all, the more protocol you have set up, Julian, the more serious they're going to be about coming on the show ready and on point. You know, sometimes it'll just be like, oh, I'm coming on Scott's spot. No, dude, you're coming on time to shine today.
That's right.
You already went through the whole protocol and it's strict. I mean, my producer who's laughing on the other screen over here, I affectionately call him my Nazi. You know what I'm saying? He's just like, dude, he holds people to stuff. Like some of the messages you think you're getting from me were from him. You know what I'm saying? Because he knows how I work, my lingo, and he'll just be like, boom, dude, we need your headshot. We need this, you know? And then, you know, not all people like post on their social, and that kind of irks me a little bit. You gave them free exposure and they don't pump you out. And that's fine though, you know? And those are the people that probably won't get the introduction from the coaching, just because I'm not sure they're going to follow up with people. They can't follow up with that. So finding people was LinkedIn, another awesome platform, which if you're not on it yet, Julian, get on it. It's called Podmatch. And Alex Sanfilippo, good friend of mine up in Jacksonville, Florida, started Podmatch. It's like a match.com for podcasters and people that want to get interviewed on a podcast. And I just put my show out there, and I've got to the point now I'm blessed. People come to me on Podmatch and they're like, bro, we would love to be on your show. There's podit.net, which is another like Podmatch, but I like Podmatch is better. Not just because Alex, but his platform is a lot easier and to work with. So yeah, man, like just, you got to be consistent.
Yeah. You know, that answer just once again reinforces in my head that there's opportunities everywhere, no matter what the endeavor is. Opportunities everywhere.
Correct. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. And LinkedIn is free.
And you gotta understand that, yeah, you see a lot of podcasters, and there's over a million podcasters, but there is 930,000 ghost podcasts. Believe that. So there's a million, I mean, there's a billion blogs. There's only a million podcasts. And then out of that, 930,000 are ghost podcasts, which means they don't put out shows. So there's only 70,000 podcasts, bro. There's not that many that are out there really doing it. There's not. So if you're putting out content, that's going to rank one day or another. It is. And you have to understand that inch by inch, it's a cinch. By the yard, it's hard. Everyone wants to fucking grab on to the big thing right away. No, dude, pay your freaking dues. John Lee Dumas isn't where he's at. Pat Flynn's not where he's at. Joe Rogan's not where he's at. Tim Ferriss is where he's at just because, you know, they did a podcast. No, dude, they grind. They put out shows. They put out content that people want to freaking hear.
Yeah.
So you got to, inch by inch, it's a cinch, man. My mentor said that to me as well, man. You know, just keep doing it. Keep doing it. And it'll eventually happen.
And so as we get ready to wind this show down, let's do just a few random questions. So what does success mean to you?
Success means I made someone smile and leveled up their life, brother.
I like
that's
that.
That's it.
I like that. What does failure mean to you?
Get to learn.
Get to learn.
Chalk up that wisdom and garner that wisdom and more to learn so I know I don't have to do that again.
Okay. This one might be a tough question. Who's in your all-time musical starting five? And they can be dead or alive.
Starting five would be... I love this question, bro. This is awesome because I asked you kind of one like this. I love it. Starting five would probably be... Are we talking instruments or just singers or what?
It's whatever you want it to be.
Dude, I got Tommy Lee on the drums. I got Jimmy Page on the guitar. I got Don Henley on the mic. I got Run and DMC on some vocals too. Yeah, dude, that would probably be like Run DMC. Dude, I'm born in 72, so 80s is my jam, like the 80s music. But yeah, I got Tommy Lee on the drums, Jimmy Page on the guitar, maybe Jimi Hendrix out there too, you know? And yeah. That would probably rock. And Henley's definitely my vocals. I love Don Henley, bro.
This is a first. You're the first guest to break it down that way. Normally, people name artists and or the groups. Right. You broke it down by players. I like that. I might do that next time.
In the 80s, there was a lot of the one namers. You know, you had Michael. So if you said Michael, and that you know, either Michael Jordan or Michael Jackson. I mean, right? You had Prince. You had Madonna. There were so many like run namers, you know, LL Cool J. There wasn't like a lot of band names.
Marvin. Well, Marvin. Yeah.
Marvin Gaye. Yeah. Yeah. You had a lot of, you said the name, you knew who they were. And that's what I love. But yeah, man, I break it down. I listen to everything. You know, I mean, it's like I'll have Bach on one morning, country music on, you know, rap from the 80s, you know, Beastie Boys, stuff like that, dude. It's like I'm all over the map with it, with my music.
Yeah. And so I guess the 80s is the best music decade to you.
Absolutely. By far. I mean, you're coming out of disco, which I did like the disco jam because I was alive to watch my parents dance around the living room to the Bee Gees and stuff. Right. But like you had the hair bands, Motley Crue, Metallica, you had the Bat, you had the basically origination of rap. I understand the Sugar Hill Gang was the late 70s, but then, like I said, you had Run DMC, LL Cool J, Houdini, like those big things. But then you had the British Invasion with The Cure, you had the Irish Invasion with U2, you know, you had the glam rock with Poison, you know, stuff like, so you had everything that really resonated and pulled forward. And that stuff is still played today. The biggest party most people have a throwback party is the 80s party. Period. You don't see 90s, 2000s. So you always are like 80s, bro. You know, like the big hair don't care. I love those parties.
That's a very good argument. that's a very good argument. I might take though. When you think of parties, what do people have theme parties for? What decade? It's always 80s.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so transformational. Cold War was coming to the end. I mean, so much stuff, you know, happened in these hippies. I'm not hippies, but yuppies. Mm-hmm. Yuppies were big, you know, making money was cool. Women in the workforce was huge in the 80s. You didn't have that before the 80s, bro. It was the women coming in the workforce and starting to dominate. Name one CEO in the 70s or 60s. You can't, but you pull in the 80s, you have Meg Whitman with IBM. You got, like, I study businesses, and you got a lot of the women that started coming in the 80s. You know, epic movies, dude. Top Gun, Back to the Future, Wall Street. Everything was the 80s. 16 Candles, all the Ferris Bueller's, all the John Hughes films. You know, I mean, they are still played today on WTBS or TNT all the time. It's the 80s movies, bro. So I'm sorry.
No. This is a great argument for the 80s. I mean, I love the 80s because I was born in the 80s. But
you were?
I mean, yeah, 86.
Were you really? Dude, you look 80s. Like you're 25, bro. You're coming up on 40 pretty soon.
35. Yeah, 35.
Nice, dude. Yeah. Hell yeah.
We're gonna save that clip and we're gonna play it a lot.
I love it.
But you know, the 80s are that's a very good argument for the 80s. I never thought about that.
Yeah. I mean, I know you were born in, but I got my license in 88. You know, I graduated in 1990. So like the 80s was my thing, man. It was it for me. And I had, you know, I had fun. I was, like I said, I was pretty decent at sports. So I got to, you know, it was the time. I mean, even if you went sports, bro, Bad Boys from the Pistons, you know what I'm saying? You had MJ come to his own, Magic and Bird, you know, it was like the sports, everything for the 80s to me just resonates. And the thing is with theme parties and all that stuff, it's still the 80s. I mean, we're in 2021. Could you imagine in 1921 people say, hey, let's have a theme party for night or 1885. You know, it's like, no, you know, it is. Yeah. So much happened.
1885. That would be a first. I almost want to like joke with someone today and say, let's have a theme party with 1910s or something like that.
Yeah. I actually went to a wedding pre-COVID. I think it was February of last year. And it was, we had to dress up in like the Great Gatsby. That was a theme. Mm-hmm. So my woman went as like a flapper, you know, like the dresses that the flappers wore. I know it's a terrible word, but she went as a flapper and I went like dressed all like, you know, I went and watched the Leonardo DiCaprio's Great Gatsby thing, mm-hmm. and just kind of like, that was so fun. That was a good throwback. That was fun.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. But the next thing is, pretend you have a bottle of wine or water or whatever you want to drink that day. You got three more seats that could join you at a round table. Mm-hmm. What three people from history, they could be dead or alive, would you invite for a round table discussion? And they could be dead or alive, and it has to exclude family.
I love that you excluded family. That's awesome, man. I would probably want to sit down with Kobe Bryant, mm-hmm. for sure. You know, just because of his mentality, and I respected him, even though I hated him. And you know, when he played my Pistons
and my Sixers,
Sixers. Right. I would probably have John D. Rockefeller, huge follower of John D. I love the Gilded Age. My fourth dude. I mean, I got sports, I got business. Dude. Probably Gandhi. Be mm-hmm. great spiritual. I'm like, seriously, I've studied Gandhi. I'm not just saying that to throw it out there. I've studied the dude. The dude was, his mindset was, it was awesome. And I'd also, you know, throw Sun Tzu in there, you mm-hmm. know? Yeah. So, I mean, it would be a fun night.
I
have the round table. It's funny you say that because I have a round table that's built. I have a spreadsheet for it, not a spreadsheet, but it's actually a drawing, and I have the people's seats, and there's people on there like Martin Luther King. There's Donald Trump, because I respect him back when he was a real estate guru and he helped me a lot with my real estate stuff. I had, you know, Robert Kiyosaki wrote all the purple books. Like, I have people on there that if I have a problem, mm-hmm. anything in life, I look at that. And there's Jesus Christ there too. And I'll look at it and be like, I'll go to my bookshelf, pull a book out and just read a little bit of it, because it'll help me pull through from that person. Mm-hmm. That you get that. So I literally have a round table spreadsheet.
No, I love that. It's the concept of, I call them extreme mentors or virtual mentors. It's making like, one thing I did have as only child is an imagination. And so I would just adopt mentors that I didn't have. I didn't have any entrepreneurs in my family. So I would say, so-and-so is my best friend. And so I'm going to read all his books and he's going to teach
yes.
me. And
absolutely, dude.
And even if I didn't agree with whoever, everyone has something to teach me no matter what.
I have a knowledge nugget that they can drop you, man.
Yeah.
You know, and mentoring is huge to me. By the way, I do a lot of free mentoring as well at the schools and stuff. I mean, I'm going back to my mentor, but who actually got this from Bobby Knight, the basketball coach for Indiana, the real hot-headed guy, mm-hmm. said, the more you mentor, the more immortal you become. And so it's like, I give to these kids, you know, and eventually they're going to pass that on to people as well. They might not remember you by name, but they'll remember, that person will remember where they got it from. Because I remember a lot of these things up here in my head of people that were there.
Exactly. Yeah.
I really believe that.
And the last question here is, someone comes up to you, they tap you on the shoulder, and they say, Scott, what are three things that I can do today to start becoming a superhuman entrepreneur? What would you tell them?
Morning routine has got to be solid, mm-hmm. no matter what. A lot of people are going that route, but bro, my morning routine is on point. I get up, I do Wim Hof breathing, I plank, I squat, sit in a deep squat. I don't do meditation. My meditation is done through breathing, right? Mm-hmm. So I get hydrated with my apple cider vinegar, my sea salt, and my lemon juice. Bam, mm-hmm. do a shot of that, which I make the night before. And then You must have a morning routine, just a solid morning routine. Not all readers are leaders, but all leaders are readers. So freaking read, dude. Mm-hmm. Get it out there. Last thing I would say is to overlap your happiness. Everything is finite. You're going through a shitty time. It's going to end, dude. If you're going on a vacation, Julian, you're so looking forward to it. You're happy as all hell. You go on vacation. Guess what? That vacation is going to end. Okay. So you got to do things every day to overlap your happiness. That's key to entrepreneurship, because if you go stale, you'll fucking quit. Don't go stale. You know, get up, get moving, get in the sunshine, get hydrated, and overlap your happiness, man. It's those are the three things I say. And it none of those really said much about business. I think that if you're passionate about something, you're going to learn it through the reading that I just said, or you're going to get your asking gear and ask people. Okay. But you must have that morning routine. You must you must read, and you must overlap your happiness, period.
I love that. That's a great way to bookend this conversation. Scott, where can listeners find out more about you?
Go to timetoshinetoday.com/podcast. The rest of the website's crap because it's all built around the podcast, but go there. And we will just, you can opt in, you can send us a message, or you can find me at on social media with Ask for Ferguson. It's ASK, the number 4, Ferguson, F-E-R-G-U-S-O-N. And if you just put Ask for Ferguson in Google, you'll get like 30 pages of the stuff that we put out or any of my social. So I mean, I'm on all the platforms under Ask for Ferguson. That includes Pinterest, LinkedIn, Facebook, Google, or whatever, Instagram, whatever the ones that everybody's on right now. So
you're omnipresent. You're everywhere.
So, I try to be, man, you know? And I mean, that's the thing, the goal this year with social is, I guess I have to get my social better. And so I did hire a company to do that. Mm-hmm. And he sold me on saying that people scroll their phone the height of the Eiffel Tower every day. He wants to create thumb-stopping content for me. So it's starting to happen. Just wait till your stuff drops. It's going to look a little bit different than anything I ever did before. Literally, it started last night with my stuff. So you're gonna see it happen. And again, there's more that goes into it to building the social, but it's got to happen.
That's awesome to hear. And I will have all of this in the show notes as well. And once again, listeners, do not forget to subscribe to his podcast as well.
Thanks, Julie.
It is filled with so much wisdom. And until next time, everyone, stay awesome, be limitless, and go be superhuman. Peace.